Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, my guest today is John Bendever, who is the creative director at Local Marketing Pros. John entered the digital marketing space to rescue small businesses from ineffective and expensive marketing by big box providers. Today, he focuses on helping any business owner he meets, whether they do business together or not. Thanks so much for joining us today, John.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
So let's dive into a couple of questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. Okay. So where are you tuning in from today?
I am based out of Lakeland, Florida. So I'm right between Tampa and Orlando and just about 30 minutes from Mickey Mouse Land.
Very nice. That's awesome. Yeah. We had big plans to go to Disney World before the pandemic hit.
Yep. It's a very different experience now, but still very magical.
Yes. And then, so what really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Freedom for family, freedom to adapt new technologies and deliver those to other businesses and to help people out. The main thing is just freedom, the freedom to do.
Definitely. Yeah. And then, so how did you originally get into digital marketing?
I come from an IT background, so I worked my way up the corporate IT ladders very quickly. And I digital marketing became a side hustle while I was in the IT world. And it just kind of grew. We all go down that little rabbit hole of, oh, let's make a website. Oh, yeah. Get people on the website. But the fun part is when I started, there was no YouTube, there was no Facebook, there was no Twitter, none of that stuff existed. And you could game Google to be at the top in minutes. And the game's really changed now. And there's a lot more pressure and a lot more stuff you have to do for your business. But, it just gets more fun to provide. And eventually I left the IT industry and decided to do digital full time just so I could be more of I had kids was the big reason. I want to be with the kids more.
Yeah. So. Awesome. So yeah. Tell me a little bit more about your story of, taking the plunge and starting Local Marketing Pros.
Yeah. So, it was really driven by health and lifestyle. The IT industry can be very demanding, and I had gotten up to like management and leadership positions. And even though my last couple of positions were primarily telecommute, there was some travel involved, but even being at home, I was still working 18, 20 hour days. Like I would get, this is before.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, they were startups. So a lot of time, a lot of demand, a lot of benefits financially, but a lot of sacrifices, maybe emotionally and physically.
Yeah.
And I've got younger kids, so they're a little older now, but back then they were, 2017 is kind of where I went full time and left the industry. And back then they were young and they play and they're loud and this was in Zoom and stuff was really new. So people would complain about background noise and my kids were jailing our own home. So I was like, I'm just becoming a really bad employee. I think I'll just go out and be a business owner full time, no matter what the cost is. And literally overnight, I had a discussion with my wife and literally overnight, we just decided to walk away from everything. And go full-time with Local Marketing Pros.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
And then, so in the early days, how did you bring on those first few clients?
I've been doing some side hustle stuff. So kind of had a reputation for building really nice sites for local businesses and doing them affordably. Mm-hmm. As soon as I went out full-time, I kind of had to raise my rates. But what I did is I just started messaging people that we had worked with in the past. I did some Facebook posts and some ask me anything sessions. They didn't really do live back then, but I would do live comments and I had a pretty good email list from just people that I had either they'd been a lead before, we did business with them before. I sent emails out and just let people know this is all I do now. because some people wouldn't work with me because I had a full-time job, you know, I'm pretty transparent.
Yeah.
So that kind of snowballed into people knowing when we were back in the game and referring us and coming back to us for maybe a rebuild or, you know, doing some other online stuff, whether it's email or social media or anything.
Interesting. And then, so how long have you been in business now?
We founded Local Marketing Pros January 1st of 2011. So on 1-1-1-1.
Amazing.
And, And I went full time in 2012. And then due to some health issues with family, I went back to IT about a year later for insurance, mm-hmm. stayed in IT until 2017. And then, you know, been full time since 2017.
Okay. Very cool. And then, so what have been some of the biggest challenges that you've had to overcome as you've been growing your agency?
In recent years, it's been differentiating ourselves from just being a commodity, right? Like, we're not just a web guy. We're not just an email guy. Like, we really focus on putting together comprehensive solutions for business that return a result. Mm-hmm. Results are super important to me. My conscience doesn't allow me to take anybody's money without them making money. Yeah. So if we can't do that or we're not feeling a good fit, I'm the first to give the business owner some other options and send them to those options.
Yeah, I love that. Are there any other challenges that you've had to overcome?
Yeah, as you grow, you know, you can't stay solo. So I'm very particular. I like things to be done with excellence. And you know, when you start onboarding team members, delegation is very, very hard. Mm-hmm. Communicating the way things should be done so they can be supported in the future or they can be standardized or, you know, scaled. That's very, very challenging. So that led to us having somewhat of a rain cloud over us for missing deadlines.
And, interesting.
Deadlines are really important, but you know, until recently, when we had proper training, deadlines were kind of optional for us because we would just say, well, you know, great things take longer to deliver. And that doesn't work either. Especially when a business owner is like, well, that costs me money. So what are you going to do now?
Yeah.
You know, so you have to balance that kind of thing. I would say the last struggle would be communication. In IT, if you don't have something good to say, you don't say anything at all. Like, you don't tell about problems till they're over.
Right.
We see that a lot with when websites are hacked and everything, they'll come back and apologize that it happened, but they don't tell you when there's an active threat. So I've had to learn that even if there's nothing quote unquote positive to say, you still share like, hey, here's where we are in the process. This is kind of the timeline for it. So you can expect this and this to happen over X amount of time. Like,
right.
So it's not negative, it's not positive, but they at least still feel like they're in the know and you're connected.
Yeah, absolutely. You're just keeping that communication line open, helping manage those expectations, that sort of thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Awesome. Now, if you had one growth tip that you could share with any up and coming agency owners, what would that be?
Deploy systems. Systems, training, policies, have policies for whether you're going to be onboarding new team members or not. For instance, we the way we build websites, we can build with several different builders in WordPress. We specialize in WordPress. So if we are building a Divi site or if we're building a Cadence site, we have build guidelines. So if a new team member comes on, they don't have to keep coming back to Slack or whatever chat you use to ask all these questions. It's standardized and there's a system for them to follow. Systems have absolutely changed our agency over the last 6 months, and we're, you know, still have a long, long way to go, but it has transitioned the agency from, you know, solo John doing a bunch of stuff and then adding team members. Oh, this is what John wants. This is how John does it. Like, it's not that anymore. It's transitioned from this is what John wants or does to this is how we do things at Local Marketing Pros.
Interesting.
And it's something that helps you with your sales process too. So if a customer is putting you through extra hoops or a prospect and they're saying, well, what's it like? What's your timeline like? If none of that stuff's documented, it's worthless. You can't just tell them. They want to see it. They want to experience it.
Right.
So having a web design or website redesign process and guidelines and everything that you can share openly, that changes the game. It's kind of really sets you apart.
Very cool. And then, so for the processes that you've put in place, is there any specific software that has really helped you put these processes together?
Yes. So I discovered it through a book called Systemology. That came out of the rabbit hole of the Ask You Answer and StoryBrand. But Systemology was written to promote System Hub. So they go together. And we decided to invest in System Hub after kind of crunching the numbers, like if we wanted to have those systems and policies in place for the agency, let's say in Google Drive, like we would have had to upgrade all of our Google accounts to the next level up, which would have cost us around $500 a year or so. Mm-hmm. And System Hub for a small team is around that, say it's about $100 more than that. But what you get inside System Hub is actual systems area. You get a policies area. So we have like an HR policy, attendance policy, those things. And then a training area. And what you get in there that you don't get other places that I felt was really valuable is one, you can easily share those things with public URLs. So, if you have a job application, you can share some of those things in a job application, say on LinkedIn or wherever, if you're trying to get a new designer or a graphic designer, there's yeah. public URL, they can see what the culture and the policies are like at your company. And you don't have to like type all that stuff out. It's already been shared.
Yeah.
And then the other thing in there, say you have a policy or our web design build process for Cadence, our designers have to go in and actually accept that. And it's like a signature for them. So okay. if they violate that in the future, or they decide to deviate from it, that can actually come up during a review process for, you know, a raise or a bonus or any kind of extra incentives they get, and be like, well, you agreed to do this, but you know, these three different projects, you decided to do something, you'd be a maverick and do it on your own. And here's how that hurt the business. Right.
Right.
So those are things you don't get, say, in Dropbox or Google Drive. We really felt like it was an investment for you. I mean, we're only a team of five. But we're now ready to be a team of 10 overnight if we need to be, because all the core things we need are in System Hub.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'd love to talk a little bit about sales with you. So what does your sales process look like, and how are you bringing in more leads to your agency and then closing those leads?
So the dreaded answer for most people is referrals. We're driven by like 90% referrals. Up until the pandemic, it was that way. Then in the pandemic, it seemed like overnight people were just trying to get anybody that had availability to help them, especially like small restaurants and things like that.
Yep.
During that process, we didn't really prospect or anything because we had more than enough project work and, you know, redesigns and people that needed online presence as fast as they could. Coming out of that and kind of the reopen process for the nation, decided to invest in a couple of directories like UpCity and Clutch. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of with weird names I can never remember, but we're on those and we pay for premium listings there. I'd say we get 3 to 5 leads a month out of each one.
Very cool.
And then maybe close, like our close rate's pretty good if we actually can get them to the point where they talk to us or me. You know, but a lot of them go dark because they're just tire kickers or shop bins. So that's fine. Until a couple months ago, we didn't even have any automation. Like if they filled out a form, it didn't nurture them or anything. Now it does. So it kind of, if they come and they say, hey, I want a website, then there's a nurture campaign that kicks off in the background. So if they go dark, they're at least getting some value from us. Mm-hmm. The other thing we're doing too is cold outreach. Like we really want some care plan clients and some design clients. So if I see somebody that I, in a niche that we really enjoy working in, mm-hmm. while we're doing research or whatever, we'll just reach out to them and say, hey, you know, things have really changed. Google's really changed. We'd love to help you. Here's some of the options. If you want to build your own quote, go to our website, build your own quote. And if you want to talk about that quote, you can book us here. And so, I think we get maybe one of those a month that actually turn it into something. Then we don't send a lot. We're not spamming the whole internet with thousands of emails.
Yeah.
It's kind of something where I'm very anti-spam. I don't want to deal with it on my client sites, and I don't want to.
Yeah.
So like I said, if somebody looks like maybe they're advertising in different places and their website is lacking, then we'll reach out to them and be like, hey, we would really love to help you increase conversions and see a greater ROI.
Interesting. And do you do anything like recording a video or anything like that to try and catch their eye a little bit more?
Yeah. That's kind of like phase two. So like if I can see they open the email a few times and they haven't really replied, I'll shoot a quick Loom video with my face on it. I really, even with client support requests and things, somebody asked me a quick question, I'll shoot a Loom with my face on it, because so many in our industry don't, you know, they just,
yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that either. Like I don't think that's a bad thing. Our focus is bringing human back to digital marketing. Where I'm a human business owner that does business with human business owners. So I want them to feel like that. They have my time and attention. So, and that's made our prices go up, but we're very transparent about it. Like, hey, we're a small team. Pros and cons are, we're a small team. That's a great pro. Like, we're very reachable and attainable, and we're responsive, but it's also a con. Like, if we get really busy and, you know, something like COVID happens, like, that we, our responses can be delayed. Yeah. So,
yeah.
But most of the business owners we work with really value that. They love, they'll tolerate a little bit more time to get the high touch that we offer.
Awesome. And how do you boost your client retention?
Stay in touch, relationship. If I see a problem, I reach out proactively about it. Mm-hmm. If we're responsible for the problem, we own it and do something to try to make up for it if it's possible. Being painfully honest, like just like if somebody comes to me and they're like, hey, we want us to do a Google ad and this is what we want to do. And we're like, man, you're just going to waste your money. Mm-hmm. Like let's spend 30 minutes and hash it out so you can understand why that's a waste of money.
Yeah.
And normally they get a ton of value and they appreciate the honesty out of that, even though it's not necessarily what they want to hear. And that's why we get a ton of referrals. It's like we actually probably get more referrals than we can handle. We turn a lot of people away for budget reasons and things like that.
Interesting. Yeah. And I love what you say, how if, you know, you guys do something wrong, you try and make up for it as well. Give them something to, you know, just try and satisfy them and resolve the issue as quickly as possible.
No refunds, but we'll do full service, free services or complimentary services or complimentary consultations, things like that. And try to make up for it.
Yeah. It's so important. So do you have any tips for being more efficient or productive in your day-to-day?
Definitely block time out for your business. Mm-hmm. Definitely. So like I hadn't even done that until the last few months. And I did that through some coaching that I'm going through. I made our company our VIP client. Like we are our top client. So we're working on a lot of stuff internally. It's very painful. You know, you really see where your inadequacies are. But definitely block out time for your company every day. And I would even encourage if you're a solo business owner or you have a very, very small team, begin to set expectations for return, like service level agreement type stuff. Like, you know, standard tickets are only answered during business hours. I only answer emails from 11 to 1, you know, and the last thing is definitely make time for yourself. I'm as guilty as the next guy of spending 16 to 18 hours a day at my desk because I love what I do. I do not feel like I'm working.
Yeah.
But I do need, I need to watch hockey. I need to go out for a walk. I need to go down to Culver's for a burger. Like get out of the house, go get out of the office, clear your head, turn your phone off, or, you know, watch a bunch of fun TikToks, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You gotta take care of yourself. Otherwise you just burn out, right?
Yep, but structure is very good. It will lead to a lot of freedom.
Absolutely. So, and then how do you boost productivity within your team?
The policies and procedures are a huge part of that because some of our team is overseas and we'll sleep while they work and they don't really have to ask a lot of questions. If they have a question, they can go into System Hub and search and they'll see this is how we do this or how we do that. And then utilizing project management software with time estimates, all the tools inside of that project management software. So the team has all the resources at their fingertips and it's not, hey, I need to reach out to John or I got to go talk to my project manager or any of those things. Everybody has access to everything so that they can do their job and even be proactive, you know. So. Some of our recent team members have just absolutely wowed me because things were at their fingertips. Like they took initiative and did things that were on my wish list. you know, but not even assigned. So that was really cool.
That's amazing. And then, so is there any software that has been critical for helping streamline your operations or has just been very helpful within your agency?
Yeah, we December we moved, we ripped the Band-Aid off. I'd been with Teamwork for 8.5 years, almost 9 years, and we switched to ClickUp. A lot of that was driven by functionality. Mm-hmm. The layout's different. We're still getting used to the layout because we loved how Teamwork was laid out, but the tools inside of ClickUp have just been in the integrations. So it brought costs down to a third of what we were paying with Teamwork, but now we can utilize Slack, we utilize ClickUp, you know, the time estimates, the reporting dashboards. Like, it's just been really, really powerful for us and helps us prioritize things. It's just been really good. Painful, but good.
Very cool. And then, so where do you see local marketing pros in 5 years' time?
Oh, man. That's a super powerful question. I would say that we would have successfully moved into a couple of focus niches. Mm-hmm. Or we're working with specific, we love working with home service providers. So people, you know, garage door repair, HVAC, electricians, those kinds of things. We're going to move into focusing on a couple of niches inside of home services. And I would say at that point we will have scaled. And then another important thing as you know, the economy changes and the web changes, I have a real soft spot for blue collar businesses. And I think that's why I like hockey a lot too. Those guys are real blue collar. They're gritty and they get down and they just do hard work every day and don't complain about it.
Yeah.
So I want to put together some real nice solutions for them where it's kind of like a Wix alternative where they come in, they have a low monthly cost for a website that serves their business. It's not just a brochure, but actually has SEO benefit and, you know, they can do bookings and stuff on it. So,
okay.
Yeah, we're just looking at like products where we can serve local businesses, small businesses more effectively at scale.
Very cool. That's exciting.
Yeah.
And then, so we're going to start wrapping up here shortly, but is there anything else you would like to add that you think would be beneficial to our listeners?
Gosh, I'm just going to reiterate, you know, constantly take care of yourself, work on yourself. I'm a bookworm, but, I think the most important things that I've invested in the last, we'll say since 2017 going full time would be investing in training myself. Mm-hmm. And it's not edutainment. So don't be educated by, you know, don't be entertained by the education of the books and everything. Take action.
Yes.
The freedom and the joy and the fun that I'm having over the last 6 months has been because we're actually taking action. They don't have to be huge. You make progress, every little steps every day.
Yep.
And it's so cliche because it's said all the time in our industry, but we operate in so much dysfunction that you have to bring applications that you can take action on. So, you know, System Hub, once I was all in halfway through Systemology, I just stopped. And I went to the resources page and he has a great little launch pad that you go through and jumped into that, went down the rabbit hole to System Hub, but it made sense for the agency. So we took action on it. Mm-hmm. And my project manager kind of became like our document person. Like I would record a Loom. This is how we do this. She'd make it a system. Our lead designer would test it out and say, okay, it's good to go. And we publish it. So
nice.
Yeah, take care of yourself, invest in yourself, invest in your team and the systems, the processes, even if you're not there yet. Like, I'm not saying that you have to go out and buy System Hub if you're a one-man show, but if you plan on growing this year and you want to set yourself apart, whether it's with talent, mm-hmm. Because now we're competing for talent too, right? Like with the world has gone mobile and telecommuting is a huge thing now. So you're fighting. I lost a great designer because he went on to a bigger agency with a lot more upward mobility.
Yeah.
You know, and I celebrate that for him. I love that he went on and did that, but it hurt. And then I had to go out and find new talent that was as good or better. And we were very fortunate to find what I think is either equal or maybe even a little bit better.
Amazing.
Yeah. So do that. And then, you know, take care of yourself, take care of your team, and learn, grow, invest in yourself.
That's great advice. And then, so we're going to start moving on to the fast five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
They Ask, You Answer by Marcus Sheridan is by far, and I'm a huge Story Brand by Donald Miller fan. So those are two are almost tied. The reason I love They Ask, You Answer is I'm a bold and honest person. Mm-hmm. And I love the idea of tackling questions that everybody else in the industry like
shies away from.
Yeah. I want to hit that junk head on. So like I love that. And so it really resonates with who I am as a person. So that book really changed my life. I'd say between Thanksgiving and Christmas is where I really dove into it. And mm-hmm. it's just been absolute insanity since.
Very good. And what does your morning routine look like?
Let's see. Wake up, check the phone to make sure there's no urgent support tickets.
Yeah.
No hosting alerts or anything like that. You know, get dressed for the day, shave if I have to, whatever. Eat some breakfast, take my vitamins, make it to the desk. I'm not an early bird because I work late with some of our overseas folks. So I'm probably at my desk between, let's say, 8:30 and 9:30, somewhere in there.
Got it.
Again, check emails to get started. Then I go into blocked out time that I have for different things, depending on the day. It may be marketing, it may be policies and procedures, it might be prospecting, sales, proposals,
yep,
things like that. And then I'm a late lunch eater too. So like my morning routine ends probably around 2 p.m. that's my, other than a quick snack for breakfast for my vitamins, that's my first meal of the day. And that's it.
Very good. Yeah. And then is there a CEO that you follow or study?
CEO. I don't know their titles are. I guess I would follow like Donald Miller. I guess he's the CEO. I love his messaging and story branding. Mm-hmm. Mike Michalowicz from Toilet Paper Entrepreneur, Profit First, Fix This Next.
Nice.
He's the CEO. Love him as an author and as a he's all about small business and entrepreneurialism too. So I guess those would be the two. I don't have like a corporate CEO I follow.
Okay. No, that's perfect. And what is your favorite online tool?
Oh, that's a horrible question.
There's way too many options.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, favorite online tool. I guess I'd have to say ClickUp because it's brought so much freedom to me and my business. And yeah, I get to have dad and husband and family time again.
Yep.
Because everything's so organized and easy to just keep on track.
Yeah, perfect. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I wish I would have known how much freedom delegating would bring, like peace and freedom. And it really brought the fun back to having the business.
Yes.
So I wish I would have known that. And I say that like also about like getting married. I wish becoming a father changed me so much that I wish getting married would have allowed that to change me that same way.
Yeah.
So I compare those two things because the change I went through after delegating as a business owner and an agency owner and the amount of attention I can give the best clients or any clients at all just skyrocketed. And our income, our monthly recurring revenue is within 60 days of the delegation being deployed. Like it almost tripled because
wow.
There was more time and more attention and I wasn't so tired and overwhelmed all the time.
Yeah.
So delegating is just, when you're ready for it, be bold and do it. Like just take the plunge.
I don't know how many entrepreneurs I've had on the podcast. And that's one thing they've said is they just waited way too long to hire their first staff member and to start delegating. It's really interesting, but it's just something it's so hard to let go of the reins for so many entrepreneurs, but it's so important at the same time.
Yeah. It's absolutely critical.
Yep. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, John. I really enjoyed our conversation today and I appreciate you joining me.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.